God is good to us. And the Lord has a word for you today. I pray that you know that. You know, every time we open up God's word and we have receptive hearts, waiting in humility to receive the word of God, he speaks and he changes us from the inside out. Isn't that good news? Amen. Well, we're in a sermon series. It's called Faith That Works. It wasn't that long ago. We've made our way through a little bit through the book of James, but I was really convicted recently, and I wanted to really just kind of work through a few things with James because of what he talks about with faith. You know, no one explains the process of faith better than James does. In this series, we're talking about the importance of advancing and maturing in our faith. And our faith should always be moving forward. I love one of the things that Matt Towne showed me the other day. I said, you know, Matt, my faith is like this. And he sort of corrected me with my arm, and he goes, no, Scott, your faith is like this, right? So it's not, your faith isn't, a healthy faith is like this, but it's always going up, even in the downs, right? And I thought that was a good word, Matt. Sometimes you come up with some good words once in a while, so praise the Lord for that. But this is James, and what he's doing is writing to these broken-hearted believers. They are separated from their people. They're trying to figure out just how to survive. And so he's telling them, if you want to know how to make it through this, you need to grow and mature in your faith. You need to learn to trust in the Lord and trust in the promises of God. And so today I want to talk to you about another important piece in this puzzle of faith, and that's a faith that seeks wisdom, a faith that seeks wisdom. So turn with me. I'm going to start right away in James chapter 3, verse 13. You'll see it up here on the screen in just a minute, James chapter 3, verse 13. And we'll make our way to verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, as most of you know, as we read through that, and we think about wisdom and what it is to have and to live by and to walk in the wisdom of God, I think most of you know this world is fallen. We live in a fallen world, and this fallen world is very influential, right? It is sowing seeds all the time of disorder and lies, and the only way to know how to act and in any given situation is to process the wisdom of God. It's to possess, I should say, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God helps us sort through all of the confusion and all of the lies, and it helps us to divide out what is true and what is right, what is the way to go, and which is the wrong way to go. And so you're going to see today that you can't have the wisdom of God without faith. They go hand in hand. And you know, over the past couple of weeks, in week one, we talked about the trials and how God shapes our faith through the trials. And I think when we think about the difficulties in life and we think about these trials that seem to come our way in waves, right? It's important that you know trials and difficulties are inevitable. There's always one around the corner. If you're going through one, maybe you just came out of one, but it won't be much longer and you'll be going through another one. And so what God wants to do is to prepare you. And what he does is inside of those trials, he has a plan. And he's going to use those trials. If you're sensitive to the work of God in those trials, he's going to use those trials to shape you and to help you consistently and confidently make it through, like a boss, right? And so God's plan is to test, is what it says in the book of James chapter 1, is to test and strengthen your faith. He uses this word steadfastness, so he's developing a steadfastness, a patient endurance through the difficulties, through the trials. But here's the warning. Satan and the world, their plan, Satan's plan, is to tempt you and to weaken your faith through the trials. So for the believer who is living by faith, we have a decision to make as we're going through the difficulty. And that decision is, do I trust him? Or do I trust my own impulses? And that's where sort of the rubber meets the road, and that's the area in your life that God is trying to shape. That's what he's using these difficulties to do, is to test and shape and to strengthen and to build a steadfastness of faith. And so we understand the test, and we cooperate with God, right, when we're going through these trials. And but at the same time, our flesh is driving us towards temptation, and the world is driving us towards temptation. And we find, you know, temporary relief inside of the temptation, but there's also long-term pain. And so God shapes us through those difficulties. And if you'll trust him, you will mature in the faith through your trials. And remember what I said earlier, it's going to be kind of like this in the trials, okay? But he will mature you. And in the end, when we live by faith, we always win. No matter what the outcome looks like, we always win. You know, when I don't know if you've ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. She's a quadriplegic. She dove into some shallow water at the age of 17 and was paralyzed for life. And but she's faithful. She's a faithful woman of God. She's written a bunch of books. She has an incredible testimony. And someone came to her one time after she spoke, and they said, you know, I bet you can't wait to get to heaven one day and get rid of this wheelchair. And she said, I don't really know if I want to get rid of this wheelchair, because without it, I would have never found Christ. And through all the difficulties, I would have never found myself. You see the perspective there? Do you see the faith perspective there? So in week two, we learned then how faith works. And so week one, we talked about faith through the trials. Week two, we talked about how faith works. We were in chapter one and two. And how faith happens when you hear, receive, and apply the word of truth or the word of God. So you're hearing it, you're receiving it. Okay, you're not just hearing it, because you've heard of things going from one in one ear and out the other, okay? So you're hearing it, you're internalizing it, and you're applying it. If that process is not happening, you're not living by biblical faith. If you're not receiving the word, internalizing it, hearing it, internalizing it, and applying it to your life, living it out, not perfectly, but if that process, if that's not a common process, you're not living out biblical faith. And so listen, God's word builds faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And so we hear and we receive and we apply that faith. And it's not just a faith unto salvation, okay? That's just the beginning, right? Some people get this confused. That's why I love that quote. I can't remember exactly how it was. I just shared it a couple weeks ago, but that quote I think it was Warren Wiersbe, he said something to the effect that there's just such a difference between those who say they believe in Jesus and those who say that they follow Christ. They're faithful followers, or so there's those who try to explain their Christianity by talking about their beliefs, and there's others that explain their Christianity by talking about how they follow Jesus Christ and live out that faith. So you know, it's one thing when we talk about the word of truth, and, you know, James says the implanted word of God. I love that. It's an agricultural word, and it means for it to sprout up. And so that word of God gets inside of you, and it sprouts up and becomes works. And faith without works is dead. And so if it's not sprouting up, if the implanted word is not being applied, it's dead. It's a dead faith. It needs to be applied. So again, it's one thing to gather these facts, and it's one thing to try to gain, you know, some knowledge and understanding from the Bible, but it's yet another thing to seek the wisdom of God. And that's what faith does, is it seeks the wisdom of God. I love what Paul says to the church in Colossae. He says this, we continually pray God will fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit provides. So he's praying, and he's praying that God's wisdom will fill them. And you remember those times when you've been like, you know, Lord, I'm dying here, and I don't know how to fix this. And Lord, you know, I don't know how to move forward from here. Lord, help me move forward from here. Lord, I need your wisdom right now. Show me. I don't know the way out of this tangled mess, and so I need you to show me, and I need you to unravel this for me. I need you to untie this knot for me, because I can't figure it out. And I like this definition that it's a German philosopher. His name's Luis Murkoff, and he says, wisdom is an attitude of God whereby he produces the best possible results by the best possible means. So really, wisdom is understanding how God made life to work, right? And then living your way, your life in a way that cooperates with that, right? That cooperates with how he's designed things. And when we do this, right, it brings about the best possible results for you and the best possible results for your family. God has a plan, and he has put things in order, and he's made things a certain way. He's made them to operate a certain way. And when we get on board with that and we cooperate with that, we experience the best possible results through the best possible means. That's God's wisdom. And that's what we want. And so when those best possible results, when his wisdom brings the best possible results in your relationships, in your decision-making, in your marriage, in your parenting, then you see the outcome, and you see things start to come together. You know, that when I read that definition from that guy, it sort of rattled me a little bit, and I was thinking, okay, what if I believe that? What if I really believe that? And I really believe that if I'm gonna find wisdom, I have to seek it from God. And what if I really took that serious? And I really had such faith in that and believe. And remember in chapter one, Paul says, if you want wisdom, ask for it, right? Ask for it without doubting. And so what would my life look like? And what would your life look like if you really believed that God gives the wisdom to bring the best possible results through the best possible means? You just have to trust him. Look at verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And so what James is saying here is, I want the wise to step up. Who is wise among you? I want them to step up. I want to see the wisdom. I want to see the wisdom of the wise. And he knows that wise living is a mark of maturity. And here they are, they're scattered, and they are just very confused and very frustrated. And he's ministering to them, and he's like, where are the wise among you? Because I need you right now. Your people need you right now. And remember, again, in chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously, he says. But let him ask in faith without doubting. And that can be hard, can it? Just asking God, I need this wisdom. But asking it in a way where, you know, God, I know if I come to you are going to give me wisdom. So we want to live by faith, but at the same time, we are just plagued with doubt. And James knows this. And listen, that doubt, it's displayed in your life as a believer. And so how you're living, if you're living unwisely as a believer, there's too much doubt, right? And if foolishness is on display in your life consistently as a believer, as a person who has put their trust in Jesus, it's a good indicator. If foolish living is on display, that you're not living according to God's word when it talks about faith. Does that make sense? Because what we're doing is we're seeking his wisdom. And if we're receiving his wisdom and we're applying his wisdom, if we work his wisdom will work. Right? You can write that down. So he says, if anyone asks, he'll receive in chapter 1. And he says, who is wise among you and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works. And I like that. By his good conduct, let him show, let him put it on display, his works. See, wisdom always translates into a change of lifestyle. Because when you receive that wisdom, and I'll tell you, I was a very unwise person in my 20s. I would say I was ridiculously foolish, all right? But when I came to know Christ, and I stepped forward in a true surrender to the Lord, seeking him, okay? It wasn't a perfect road, but one of the things I learned to develop is a hunger for God's word, because through the obedience of seeking God and his word, he responded to that faith and that obedience with favor by giving me wisdom to help walk me out of problems that I was consistently falling prey to, right? I was consistently making bad decisions, and he starts fixing these decisions, these bad decisions, these foolish decisions. Why? Because now his wisdom is being applied, and I can see around them, see behind them. And so now what's happening is those who are wise and understanding, he says, by his good conduct, let him show his works. Let his works be seen. Those of you who are living wisely, your people need to see you living wisely. Let it be seen. And then he uses this word show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Show his good conduct and his good works that are performed in meekness. You know, meekness is not weakness. Some people think that it means weakness. Meekness is this attitude of humility. It's power under control, right? It's living a strong, powerful life that is wise and in control, right? And so what he's saying here is, those who are wise and understanding among you, let us see your good conduct being displayed through humility, right, and meekness. And so James says, who is wise? I want to see your conduct. You know, wisdom is God's way of leading us to healthy decision-making. And it's God's way of leading us to healthy relationships. Do you need to make healthier decisions? Do you need to have healthier relationships in your life? Maybe a friendship, maybe a relationship with your parents, maybe a marital relationship. And that's my prayer for my wife. Lord, give me the wisdom to understand my wife, right? I'm still waiting for that wisdom to come pouring down. And so we ask God's wisdom in faith, and here's the great news, that when we ask in faith, he gives generously, it says in chapter 1. And that's a promise. That's a promise. And so James says, let me see your conduct, let me see your good works being displayed in humility and weakness. And now watch this in verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, now he's saying this as if it's the antithesis, right? As if it's the opposite of wisdom, okay? But if, on the other hand, you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, remember the target is the heart. You need wisdom in the heart, but instead there's bitterness and there's selfishness in your heart. He says, do not boast and be false to the truth. I like that. That's a nice way of saying, don't be a liar, right? False to the truth. This is not the wisdom, he says in verse 15, that comes down from above, but it is earthly, it is unspiritual, and it's demonic. Do you know that? Selfishness. And I'll tell you, jealousy, that's a sneaky one, y'all. You know, just when you think you don't have problems with jealousy, let me tell you, we all wrestle with jealousy, okay? Don't ever stop and think you don't have problems with jealousy, okay? Just know this is a battle. Some of it's greater than others, okay? But he says that this bitterness and this selfish ambition that's caught up in the heart, he calls it a fault, being false to the truth, which is, it's a lie. He says, this is not the wisdom that comes from above. It's the wisdom that comes from the world. This is an unspiritual wisdom. This is a fake wisdom. This is a false wisdom. This is the wisdom that, you know, some of those workers, those employees or those co-workers at work who do not know the Lord, you know, and there's a woman kind of having some problems in her marriage, and she's talking to them, and she's saying, you know, I don't understand my husband. And they're like, girl, you just need to leave your husband. You know, this is the wisdom that comes from the world. It's always guiding you in the wrong direction. It's always moving you away from the things of the Lord. It's always moving you away from truth. It is a lie. And I'll tell you, a lot of Christians are caught up and stuck in this. This has always been an issue, and James knows it because these believers were falling victim to this too. They're separated, they're isolated, and look, this is one of the reasons we need the family of God. Look, you need the church, and you need it consistently. Why? Because you need the truth of God's word. You need the fellowship of God's people to encourage you and to keep you accountable, right? To keep you accountable to what? To staying aligned with God's truth. The world is pulling you and pulling you into its wisdom, and it says that it's demonic. That's what James says. He calls it demonic. He calls it unspiritual. He calls it earthly. And if meekness is the humble attitude that invites God's wisdom, jealousy and selfish ambition is the self-centered attitude that pushes God's wisdom away, right? So jealousy and selfishness makes everything more about me, and that's when you begin to turn away from God's wisdom and you start to rely on yourself. Then you start to rely on your own interpretation of things, right? And so when you start to see things and you try to interpret them your own way, okay, then you start to make foolish decisions because you're not interpreting. Why am I having a hard time with that word? Okay, you're not interpreting them through the truth and the lens of God's wisdom, right? His word. And so he says these attitudes and behaviors, this jealousy and selfish ambition, it's earthly and unspiritual and it's demonic. Look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. And so those selfish practices, operating in jealousy, when those things are in your heart, what he says here is there will be disorder, and I experience this, okay? When I was living far from the Lord, I lived in disorder in every vile practice. Some of your versions might say evil practice. That's not good news. It's a breeding ground for dysfunction. And you know, there's some hard truths, you know, in God's word. And it's really an affront to the things that we see in our world today. And it's kind of hard these days because, you know, as God's people, we want to love everyone, right? We want to show the love of Jesus to everyone. We want to have compassion towards everyone. And we know that some people are, they're just stuck in a lie, all right? But it's a slippery slope. If you're not seeking God's wisdom, okay, that means you're not seeking his authoritative truth over your life and over all things. And then the world's influence sort of goes over top of that. And then you start to question, is that really what God's word says? They should be able to live that way. They can live the way, that's love, right? That's just who they are. Does God's word really say that? And so we start compromising God's word. That's the wisdom of the world. That's unspiritual. Scripture says that's demonic. And so what we align ourselves with is the truth of his word. And you hear me say this all the time. It's not really me that says it. It's the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1. He says, may God be true and every man a liar. That's how serious we hold his truths up so we can stay aligned with him and live in his wisdom. Because there's blessing in that. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above, all right, we're back to the positives, okay? We got out of the jealousy and the selfish, okay, we're moving back to the things of God, the wisdom of God. But the wisdom from above, the wisdom that comes from God is first pure. I like how he says this. He didn't just say it's pure. He says it's first of all pure. It's undefiled. It's absolutely 100% flawless. It's absolutely 100% uncorrupted. That's important. If you want to know the truth that sets you free, you know the uncorrupted, pure truth of God. And so he says, it's first of all, let's just get this straight. First of all, his wisdom is pure. It's incorruptible. It is flawless. And then it's peaceable. The truth of God brings peace. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, right? And so this wisdom of God is not like the wisdom of the world. See, the wisdom of the world, you'll see often the wisdom that the world claims that it has brings conflict and disorder and confusion. You seeing a little bit of this today? All right? But God's wisdom brings peace. It says that it's gentle and it's open to reason. I like that. I saw a guy, I told Melanie, I said, Melanie, come over here and watch this guy. I was watching YouTube on my TV, and this guy was out sharing the gospel, and I just thought he had such a humble, gracious, loving heart sharing Jesus. And we don't see that usually from the street soapbox preachers, right? They're pretty much hammering the truth of God's word, and maybe we need them too, okay? So I'm not discounting them, but I thought he was just so good. But what he was doing is he was reasoning with them. How was he reasoning? He was reasoning through the scriptures with them, opening up the word of God and reasoning out the truth. He was gentle. He was peaceable. And it says God's wisdom is full of mercy. You noticing a pattern here? It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's filled with mercy. Okay? It's not harsh. It's not a beat down, right? It's also filled with good fruits, right? It's impartial. James just got through talking about not being partial in the church, right? If a poor man comes in, you don't treat him any different than you a rich man, right? The wisdom of God says we shall not be partial in dealing with people. And then he says it's sincere. And I like verse 18, what it says here. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And you're like, how does that sort of fit in here? Well, it's because of this. The wisdom of God brings the incredible peace of God to any situation, right? And so the wisdom of God brings the peace of God. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness, a harvest of God's righteousness, a harvest of God's goodness is being sown. I love that. So here's what James says, and I'm closing out. You'll see this on the screen. James tells us that this is a wisdom that is humble. We saw that in verse 13 when he talked about meekness. It's this attitude of humility, right? And so it's going to take humility to seek the wisdom of God, because sin and selfishness always wants to take control, right? It always wants to get out in front. Our sin and selfishness are always driving us. It wants to take the driver's seat, right? So it's going to take some humility to get out of the driver's seat and let God lead. And so it's going to take that kind of humility, that kind of meekness. And so, and it's a wisdom that is active. We see this in verse 13 and in verse 17. It changes our conduct. It leads to good works, right? And then finally, it's a wisdom that is visible. He said, let him show his works. Let him show his works. Let the wise man show his works. It's visible for people to see. It's done in humility. It's active, and it's visible. And here's what I've learned in closing in my own life as God. And look, I don't consider myself a wise person. I just consider myself a wise person under construction, or a wise person in progress, okay? So, but But as God, as I approach God and I approach his word with the humility that I need, he gives me the wisdom that I need, okay? And it's not always the answer I'm looking for, but I have a decision in that. When he gives me his wisdom, I have a decision to make to obey or to go back to my own way. And this is the tough part of the Christian faith. This is where we get stuck, is in the obedience thing. If anyone in here in this room is stuck in their faith and they're not growing in their faith, the reason you're stuck is obedience. It's an obedience issue. And real faith steps outside of you, right, and makes itself humbly available for God to lead. That's hard. This is why it's a surrender issue. We have to surrender all to Christ. Maybe we could have played that one today, Mike. But it's a surrender all issue. When we surrender all to him, we put him in front of us. He's in front of all then, right? And then he leads us into his truth, into his understanding, and into his wisdom. Makes sense, doesn't it? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to be a part of your work on earth, Lord. We know that you have created all things. You created the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the oceans, the earth. And you created each of us. And you have a purpose for us. And we know that because we know your word, Lord. You have...